2.9 Cimarron, powered by Leaper Transmission in Garden City. It's cheaper to keep her, so take her to Leaper. The Rock.
Broadcasting live from the WKBC studios in Garden City, this is the Morning Roundup with Baylen Height and Derek Decker on 99.9 The Rock.
We are back. It is a Monday morning edition of the Morning Roundup with Baylen Height, Derek Decker, your hour of Southwest Kansas sports talk. Liz here on 99.9 The Rock. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Got a busy weekend to recap. We could really go any direction in our open. There was so much to talk about, whether it be high school basketball, sub-state, junior college, Region 6 playoffs. We had the final weekend of the Big 12. I mean, what else was there? I know I hit my ticket to the bank. I saw that go down on Friday night. That's always a good spot to start. Like I said, a lot to get to. Derek, you were off this weekend, off this weekend. You actually, I don't know, outside of, I guess there was arena football. How was that experience? That was something different for you.
And the quality of football was pretty good. I did think the Storm's offense struggled a little bit, and you'll get a chance to get a taste with this team coming up here later in March and in April, Baylen, but it was an exciting brand of football. I thought Gillette's team looks like it's going to be better. That's a team that had two wins in their inaugural year and then three wins last year, and they had they had one guy pull in four touchdown grabs in that game. But I will say, just from a football standpoint, the three-point and four-point conversions made a huge difference. I really loved it because anytime you're within 10 points now, you're a one-possession game. So it makes the game much more exciting down the stretch. The Storm went for three every time that they got a touchdown, and the Mustangs went for two. So it's just kind of going to be interesting to see how teams play this out early in the season. But a lot of different strategy involved, and overall very good experience here in Dodge City. A lot of folks travel in. Storm have a pretty good fan base here in Southwest Kansas. It's certainly not just the locals here in Dodge. A lot of folks traveling in. So a good environment and very family-friendly fun on Saturday night at United Wireless Arena.
Well, it sounded like a good environment, too. And so the four-point, there wasn't a four-point attempted, because I flipped it on. I was running errands around Garden City, and I had turned it on in the car, kind of coming in and out. I'd heard you at one point say it was the first time a conversion had been attempted. That must have been the three-point conversion you were talking about. Am I wrong there?
No, that's right. And I did hype it up a little bit, because I did mention it was the first three-point conversion attempt in CIF history, because the Storm kicked off earliest, so it happened to be the first game of the night. So, yes, it happened to be the first three-point attempt in CIF history.
So you were not wrong. Technically not wrong. We had a busy weekend. We're going to start with high school basketball in kind of a somber tone for myself. Garden City boys basketball falling to Junction City, 46-43. This was the big game for Garden City, extremely hyped up. Poor free throw shooting at the end of the game. They went 3-for-8 in the final 4 minutes, and then also only able to connect on 1 3-pointer for a team that averages 5.5. That is not going to get it done. Junction City came in, played physical defense, never went away from Garden City, and unfortunately the Buffalo season ends at 20-2. I do want to say something real quick, kind of open up this show with a little bit of an ode to Garden City basketball in a sense. Look, it was not the year that the boys wanted, that is for sure. It's not the year that Coach Jeff Williamson wanted to end on, but there was a lot of good things. The best start in program history at 12-0. You had a 8-0 conference record. You win the WAC, something that is not easy to do year in and year out. And then also, you have the most wins in the regular season at 19 after winning the final game of the year against Liberal. You go 19-1, win one playoff game, lose the next. It was a special year in Garden City, and I wrote about this on westernkansasnews.com. I don't know if some of you may be listening. You might have seen it. If not, I'd encourage you to go check it out, because we kind of wrote, I kind of wrote and went by why this year was special for me and why I think it was special for the community outside of just the play on the court. I talk about my fiance Serenity and our move and kind of the uncomfortable feeling of being somewhere where we were not familiar and certainly did not feel like home. we got an opportunity to kind of grow together over the course of this season because of Garden City basketball. She attended almost every single game, almost every single road game with me, and we had great conversations with people, met so many people in the community, and it was really nice. It was really a season that we're going to remember as long as we're here, as long as we live together. And I think it's going to be one the community remembers because it was the first opportunity for us to kind of feel like we were home. We come from Indiana where basketball is king. And when it comes to basketball, Garden City really carried the torch and it really started to feel like home when these crowds started to come out. And congratulations to the city of Garden City. I just want to give a huge shout out because you came out, you supported, the crowd was huge. Student section was doubled. There were students there that I had not seen all season long. Most of them probably did not know or understand the game of basketball, but that was okay. They got to sit down, they got their piece of pizza, everybody wore their white. And unfortunate the boys couldn't pull it out, but still a fantastic season and a really great environment there at Garden City. So congratulations to the Buffaloes on a 20-2 season, and a huge shout-out to the city for coming out and finishing this season off with a tremendous crowd despite the result. Derek, I know you watched that game. Was there anything that kind of stood out from you just on the sideline, seeing that environment and kind of being a part of that from that perspective?
Well, first of all, I think you're right. It really, truly felt like a tournament game, and that doesn't always happen in Kansas. I think sometimes the sub-state games can get downplayed a little bit, and just the way the tournament is set up with the most important games of the season, you know, very far away. Obviously, if Garden had won, then the last potential three games of the season would have been over in Wichita on a Wednesday afternoon and then a Friday and a Saturday. So it doesn't lend itself well to big crowds, but I thought that the environment was tremendous on Friday night. As far as the gameplay goes, I think Junction City did a little bit, honestly, it surprised me the way that they won the game. Because number one, Garden City did not shoot well, as you mentioned, from the perimeter. Number two, I thought Junction City is a team that's built more to win kind of an up and down game, spread the floor, use their length. But we did see them play one really grinded out game in the Tournament of Champions, and they were able to outlast. We have seen that team. I think that's the key for them going forward now as they're in the state tournament, is their consistency on defense. Because when they're good on defense, they are difficult to beat. And as you mentioned, their offense did not necessarily have to be good all the entire game, but they did make plays down the stretch, made some free throws at the end as well, enough at least to win the game. Garden City's poor free throw shooting the entire season hurt them a little bit down at the end, but you know what? After all that stuff, they got a chance. You know what? Junction City had the turnover, and Garden City was at the line with a chance to be right in it and just unable to convert. So I think all in all, this is the way tournament games go. You know, you get down to the last couple of possessions, and you're looking for somebody, some hero to make a play. But overall, I thought it was a tremendous basketball game, first of all. And second of all, a big upset for Junction City. Number three, surprised by the way that they won the game.
I mean, you said it. They just kind of grinded Garden City out. They played a different way. They actually played more to what Garden City was trying to do defensively. Garden's come out with a really stout 2-3 zone, expanded upon throughout the season. And Junction said, you know what, we're going to be comfortable even though we don't shoot the basketball particularly well. We're going to attack the soft underbelly of the zone, and that's right in the middle. Michael Boganowski had a tremendous game. A physical player, smart player, impressed by his ability to not just kind of be a football player playing basketball, but an overall, I felt he was more of an athlete who could play basketball. Because sometimes you do see that. You see guys that tremendous football players, they're athletic, and they say, you know what, I'm going to play basketball in the winter. I think Boganowski has a real case to be a two-way player, and I was impressed with his ability. The guard play for Junction City defensively was really strong, and you know, unfortunately, all that culminates into a loss for Garden City. Either way, we still have a couple of teams that did go on in advance. In fact, our only two teams from our listening stations, from stations that are covered, there were a few teams outside of the region that we do not cover. Wichita Leoti girls basketball advances to sub-state. Buckland goes off to sub-state. There's a couple others I'm missing. I'm going to get to those here in a moment. We'll certainly get sure to get those shout-outs and do credit where credit is due. But Hugoton boys and girls both easily advanced there in 4A. Some of the top teams in 4A got really nice draws because of their regular season effort Two home games for both of those teams, and they flat-out dominated. They'll be advancing off into 4A state championship this Wednesday. Congratulations to the Eagles and Lady Eagles. Can't wait to follow them and see how long their season continues. Holcomb's season did end against Colby 55-60. Colby would go on to beat Goodland and win the Lakin Substate. You know, unfortunately for the Longhorns, things end with a five-point loss. But when you look at the season, look at what they did in that game against Scott City. Certainly something that you can be proud of and kind of hang your hat on in a sense, even though you were not able to get to the championship. Five-point loss, the number one team in that substate, a team that is very talented, very skilled, with one of the top guards, in my opinion, in Western Kansas. I don't think that's a bad finish at all for Colby. And then, Derek, we did talk about arena football a little bit at the open. Kansas Storm fall to Gillette 30-12. You mentioned Gillette with four catches for a touchdown by one individual player. I want to ask you this because, like you said, I'm going to be able to catch some football, and I got to start kind of preparing for that arena football environment. What did you notice are the biggest differences for someone who is used to, I'll say, regular football or the full 100 yards versus just the 50 yards of an indoor arena football game?
Well, I thought this game in particular was a little bit of an anomaly probably to what we're going to see the rest of the season. Number one, obviously you have a running clock the entire game, except on change of possession and in the last minute of each half. You have a couple media timeouts that'll stop it there. But honestly, during the first and third quarters when the clock never stops really, except on possession change and penalties, first of all, there also were a lot of penalties in the first half. But it's just a free-flowing game, but you're only going to get two, maybe three total drives in those quarters. So you have to be efficient offensively. Now, again, there are other football games that have happened in the past in arena football. Obviously, last year, you know, the Storm averaged close to 40 points a game, and the Mustangs gave up almost 50 points a game. So, again, offense is trying to find themselves. The Storm did turn it over four times. Their quarterback, Taj Thomas Tolbert, which, by the way, is a tremendous name, goes by Taj Tolbert, picked off four times in the game, one of them late, but that's one thing. I will say one of the other differences, too, is, well, obviously you don't have any punts, but on 4th and 13 or 4th and 20, it doesn't mean you're out of it at all. They can take a long shot and score a touchdown on it pretty easily. It's definitely something that can be accomplished. Torrance Carr caught both the Storm touchdowns, and for the Mustangs, it was all about Karrant Higgins. And here's what I will say, Baylen. I thought, and again, this might just be these two teams, but first experience with the Storm and in the CIF, I thought both teams heavily targeted their top receiver almost every time. Karrant Higgins and Torrance Carr were by far the two top targets in the game for each team. So interesting to see how that continues to play out. The other thing, too, is that you've got guys obviously in motion coming towards the line of scrimmage and in the backfield. The two teams were different in that. The Storm kept it pretty simple, pretty basic in terms of getting guys straight forward toward the line of scrimmage, while the Mustangs kind of did some cross patterns and some switching in the backfield. So it's just very, very interesting to watch. And it was a very intriguing product and a lot of fun for the fans. And certainly they've grown a fan base already. And Saturday night, you could definitely tell why.
With the emergence of the XFL and AFL coming up here soon, do you think this is a good sign for arena football, because it has kind of more of a glass eye with these leagues that are underneath the NFL? Or do you think it is more of maybe a negative because there's competition now with these different sub-leagues of the NFL?
It's a very interesting question, and here's what I would say to that. Personally, I think it's a good thing for arena football because you've got the interest, and it's always a trickle-down effect, right? We see the same thing in minor league baseball where you start at the top. If you've got interest there and you can find some offseason. Now, baseball is unique because, and that's not a great example, it's not a perfect analogy because baseball happens for such a long season and football is not. But there is always a desire. There always has been, and in my opinion, for the foreseeable future anyway, there will be, at least in the near future, a desire and a want for football outside of the season. So in the spring and in the summer, which is exactly where this league takes place, I think the emergence of those leagues on TV, if you watch that, even though that is traditional 11-man football, you might hop on and say, hey, we've got a Southwest Kansas Storm game going on this weekend. Let's go out and check it out. Tickets are pretty reasonable. They do tons of great promotions. So again, I think it's overall a good thing for the CIF and the product that they're trying to put on the field.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think that it could be taken as one thing that could be competition, but I also think that with the awareness and the ability to show these different leagues, I think it brings interest. I will say for me, someone who's never been around an arena football team, watching the XFL last weekend, getting to see some of the XFL yesterday, it definitely piqued my interest on Saturday when I was thinking about, you know, tuning into the game and just kind of listening along as I was driving around town. So certainly for me, that's an early return there. That's just one person, maybe two if you include Derek there. But always nice to talk about local sports, and always nice to talk about a new local sport in a sense that is just starting up their season. Hey, we're going to take our first break on the morning roundup, getting you through our opening segment. That's a little bit of a look at the weekend. We kind of continue that when we look at the Big 12 awards coming back from our break. Look at some awards that have been given out. Also, the breakdown of the tournament. Me and Derek will each pick a dark horse. That is a team not in the top four of the final standings of the Big 12 to win the tournament. And then look at the current teams projected to go to the NCAA tournament in the conference as well. All that and much more coming up. A Monday edition of the Morning Roundup is live and back in a few.